talking, mom's talking, just a couple of moms talking.
So for the listeners, we have two of us in our home studio this week, and two of us on Skype from their own homes. So you can't see us, but we can see each other, even though we're not in the same room.
It's beautiful.
It is. Technology is
fabulous, ladies. Fabulous.
And Arrow's here, too. If you heard that clinking, that's him shaking his head. His license was rattling.
Oh, my goodness. Was it?
That's the sound of my dogs walking around.
Oh, and
they
that's...
have, like, the little tiny click-clack toenails.
So this podcast is going to feature four moms and four dogs. Pam has three dogs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Three yeah. little dogs.
I don't know why, but yes, I do.
Oh, I forgot to say I'm Patty. Did I say I'm Patty? Just so you...
No, right. I don't think you did.
Okay, I'm Patty. And we are... This is Mom's Talking. We're a group of left-leaning...
We're very organized tonight.
Yeah, it was a long weekend. We're a group of left-leaning, left-coast moms just talking about things that matter to us. And trying to figure out how to make the world a better place for our kids and for everybody. And for dogs. So this week Pam's back with us after 2 weeks. Oh my goodness, what
it's
is happening?
Sorry.
I don't know.
It's Dogmageddon over there. So Pam, for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about talking to Trump voters. And I know you missed that.
Yes. Oh, darn it. Yeah.
Yeah, but while we were talking about it, you were having some real-life experience with that.
Me too. Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. Oh, well, I was you said you. I was having real-life experiences.
You, yes, you.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about it?
Well, sure. I fell into the trap. I had some people who I knew were at least not Hillary supporters. One was a libertarian. The other one I did not realize was an actual Trump voter, and I was with them for several days, and I was very careful to avoid any political discussion until the last night we were talking about, somehow got on the subject of North Korea.
Oy.
And that set off the conversation about how, you know, Obama never did anything to solve North Korea. Although they were also very critical of Bush Jr. and Clinton, and pretty much everybody on North Korea. But then we somehow got on the subject of Donald Trump, and that's when I found out that one of the people was a Trump voter, because she told me that he cares about everyone very deeply. And I was...
Is she special, this person?
No. Actually, you know what? She's a retired school teacher, so that's a little disturbing.
God,
I'm sorry
educators.
About that.
Stab in the heart.
But from the Midwest. So, you know, very different, I think, cultural exposures. And
is she married to somebody wealthy?
No.
Oh. There goes my theory.
Yeah.
No.
She's Catholic.
She was very religious.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it.
That's Catholic. What you were telling us. She's Catholic.
Pro-life.
Grabbing in the pussy is fine. Yeah.
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 So, you know, it was very shocking to me because I thought I was so well prepared to have these conversations. And in the heat of the moment, it got very ugly very quickly. And I also was somewhat to blame for calling Trump a racist after they suggested that Obama only got to Harvard on affirmative action. And,
I don't think you're to blame.
No.
I think that's a fact.
You don't have to sit back.
We believe it's a fact, but she had pointed out to me when I said, well, you're insulting, you know, the man that I voted for twice and pretty much everything, every ideal that I believe in. And she had pointed out to me, well, you insulted our president, the man that I believe in. And I said, okay, I'll take that. I'll take that criticism. However, you are in my home, and I don't think we should be having this conversation because we very clearly have two very different viewpoints that will not be able to come together. Yeah. And so, you know, the conversation went on a little bit more, and we all kind of went to bed that night, I think, unhappy with each other. And it was unfortunate to end a nice visit on a sour note. And it just brought home to me how difficult it is now to talk to people on the other side about politics, how polarizing it has become. And the next day, I actually met with a couple of representatives of the Democratic legislative district that I live in here in Scottsdale, and shared the conversation with them, or parts of it. And they said, you know what, we don't try to talk with Trump voters because it's too late for them. They're too far gone. I mean, what we're trying to do is get our message out, number one, to registered Democrats or people who are at least of the Democratic persuasion. Number two, we'll talk to independents. Maybe if Republicans come to us and say, hey, I'm thinking about switching my party affiliation, of course, then you want to talk to them. But we do not waste our time trying to convince registered Republicans or Trump and or Trump voters. She said, those are conversations that we can't win.
Yeah.
So it made me feel a little bit better about my conversation, where I just felt like I didn't make the case for my beliefs, because I realized that I couldn't make the case for my beliefs with them. There was no way to get through to them.
Right. That's the problem, is logic doesn't work because we just have different worldviews. But I think there are people who are skilled at guiding these kinds of conversations.
Oh, yes,
you're a slot machine.
It's not me.
It's like, it's Karen.
Karen, are you in Las Vegas?
My son was watching one of those things where if you watch a free ad, you get another life on a game. Sorry.
What's happening?
I'm in Las Vegas.
Woo-hoo! I stuck it right.
All
right. Yeah, I think that's right, Patty, but I think those kind of conversations would have to be conducted in a controlled situation where both sides agree to have a conversation,
right.
You know, which
right,
is
right.
What we did. We did not agree to have a conversation, and that's how we got sort of in an argument, I think. So,
yeah,
you know, unfortunate that we can no longer have, you know, factual conversations with the opposing parties, really.
Right. Well,
because they have their own set of facts. They would say we have our own set of facts. And,
yeah.
You know, there's no way to convince the other side.
Yeah. Well, we have to work towards points of agreement, figuring out what those are.
So, or, yeah. I like the strategery, is that a word?
Yeah.
Of, you know, let's focus on the Democrats who we can and get people to register to vote.
Well, I think that's a big part of it, is that, I mean, there are a lot of things that the majority of the country agrees on, and if we can, like, fix this gerrymandering and get people back in Congress who actually represent the majority of people, then we can find points that most people agree on and logical legislation. And I'm trying to be helpful, people. I'm trying to be helpful.
No, and I think that's the idea, is rather than wasting our breath trying to argue with these people, let's focus on what we can do, what we can do to make a difference in the next election. Let them have their arguments on Facebook and post pictures about people kneeling and the flag and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Let's get down to business and figure out what we need to get done, you know.
2018, flip the Congress.
Yeah.
2018.
Time's ticking.
Woo! So,
quickly.
Jackie, you were away last week.
Yes, I was in Republican hell.
Oh.
That's not completely true. I didn't realize growing up, though, that I came from a very conservative area. I don't know how I turned out this way. I really don't.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But I was in went to a funeral, and I was standing in the celebration, you know, surrounded by Republicans. And I have two friends who are, like, social workers, so we sat in the corner and whispered.
Yeah.
Just kept it to ourselves.
That's hard.
Yeah.
It is sad that... All right, I feel like, you know, and Trump just keeps stoking the fires and making it harder and harder to have these kind of conversations. But we have to maintain you know, civility and a sense of community, and if that means that we don't have those kinds of conversations.
So it's not okay to, like, gag when you're talking to a Republican and, like, vomit signs?
Well, I think
that's not okay?
I think if they're being, like, loud and annoying about their point of view, then, yeah, we're allowed to speak up. But I don't know if we should initiate these conversations on a regular basis.
Well, I asked my very liberal friends, I said, how do you guys live here? Like, yeah. How do you live here? And be authentic. They're like, it's not easy.
I bet. I bet it's very challenging.
Constant aggravation.
Yeah. Okay. Now somebody's like working on a report or something. Your paper's shuffling.
That's not me, Patty.
What
not
is me. Going on over there, you guys?
Not me.
I just moved a paper. That's it. All right. Just one little piece of paper.
Our engineer already yelled at me, so I'm telling you guys, we are going to get in trouble.
I'm sorry.
My notes are on the computer. I'm good.
All right. Everybody's good. I'm just warning you. We are going to be scolded if we don't watch the background noise.
Uh-oh.
All right. Okay. Karen, I know you've been having birthday month. Anything else to share?
About my birthday?
You had birthday time. you had children birthdays.
I did.
You've been partying down.
I had 10 girls glamping in my backyard last night.
Oh my gosh.
Which is, you know, glamorous camping with a very nice tent for a birthday party. And I probably got maybe 2 or 3 hours of sleep because they were giggling in the backyard all night.
Oh my God.
But it's all worth it, right? And then I had a birthday. And I shared that. Yeah. And then, you know, I was called. Told by a student that I looked like somebody's, that they looked like their grandmother. So that wasn't really
give them
a good celebration.
F.
Give yeah.
Them an F.
Anything else? That's good. But yeah, everything's good. Everything's good. Everybody's happy.
All right, that's all that matters. Good. And we're missing Andrea because she's with her mom this week.
Yes.
But, Arrow. I already told you the engineer is going to yell at us. Stop the shaking. So she's with her mom, but Andrea's mom is actually one of our loyal listeners. So hi, Sue.
Hi, Sue.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Yeah, we got to see her last night. That was fun.
So she's our one listener.
I think she's our one listener.
No, I have a friend who listens.
You know what? Our mother is a listener.
Yeah.
Wow.
We have three listeners.
Hi, mom. Hi, Momu.
Yeah.
Yay. All the moms.
A lot to say about it.
The moms are listening to the moms. I know there's some more moms out there that listen to us too. And so there's, you know, another week of just ridiculously exhausting news. But as we were recording this last week, the terrible shooting was happening in Las Vegas. So I don't think we can gloss over that. So frustrating. I hear a lot of people talking about what can be done, a lot of frustration about what's not being done. I did post on the Facebook page some links to a couple of recommended organizations, because I think one thing we can do is, get educated, be prepared. This is one of those topics that I think we can use as a litmus test in 2018. People are being encouraged to ask their candidates, what are you going to do about gun control and what is your position? not just lip service, like what is your plan for dealing with controlling mass shootings in this country?
So you probably heard that one podcast where they said, if Democrats are really for gun control, we should just say it instead of trying to pay lip service, like, oh, I appreciate, you know, people wanting to hunt. Let's just say we are against guns. We are, you know, the Constitution was written at a time when people needed a gun to defend themselves. They don't need one anymore.
And those were muskets.
Nobody needs an automatic rifle that shoots 100, you know, rounds in 30 seconds to protect yourself from a bear. I mean, really?
Right. I think that's one thing that, you know, Bernie does well, is that he goes from zero, if, you know, if you're on a scale of 0 to 10, he takes 10, the position of 10. Let's go to single-payer healthcare, right? And then we'll work backwards from there. And I don't think we should be afraid to do that with gun control. It's like people don't need to have weapons, you know what I mean? Right. So, yeah. And part of the reason that people claim that they need weapons is because the NRA is fomenting all of these lies about, you know, the pending race war and making people afraid. And obviously the most dangerous people in this country right now are white males. I mean, who is conducting all this mass shootings? There's been a few exceptions.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
For the most part, they, you know, the biggest tragedies when it comes to gun deaths have been carried out by white men. So I'd like to build a wall, and I would like to keep all white male gun owners, not all white men, there's plenty of good white men, but white men who insist on keeping their automatic weapons need to go to the other side of the wall.
Yes. Well, did you, NRA's Wayne LaPierre, this is from the New York Daily News, today came out Sunday and is now saying that the Las Vegas shooting, it should be blamed on the Hollywood elites, video games, federal law enforcement, and guess who? You're never going to guess. Former president.
Obama.
Oh. It is his fault that all of this has occurred. And he says it is not the NRA because their laws, you know, just support people owning guns for righteous reasons. So it's all of those Hollywood elites that are making us all emotional.
Really?
And it's got nothing to do with the NRA. So
that's a direct lash out against Jimmy Kimmel. The emotional statement that he made. They are lashing out at people like Kimmel and Stephen Colbert and Seth Meyers because they are using their platform to, you know, present some of these issues, which they are perfectly welcome to do.
Welcome That's to part of speech.
Freedom yes. of speech. And if you don't want to watch them, you can turn the station.
But the thing that they can't deny is that more guns lead to more murders. There's been several cases, research cases, where this has been proven. California has stricter gun laws than a lot of states, and since those laws weren't put in place, our homicides and gun deaths have declined. Australia, when they had that terrible shooting, I think it was like in the late 80s or early 90s, where a guy walked up to a fast food restaurant and shot like 26 people. After that, they put a gun buyback in place, and they offered to buy back everything that wasn't just like, something that you would consider reasonable for personal use. Yeah. All the automatic weapons, all of that was bought back, and then you weren't able to buy them going forward. And there was a very, very steep decline in gun deaths since that time, including suicides, which a lot of people don't like to talk about, is how intricately entwined mental health issues are with this. Most gun deaths in this country are suicides. So,
you know where most of those buyback programs are, Patty? Predominantly in low SES, high minority neighborhoods, where they are consistently doing these gun buybacks. And then calling it a victory. Well, we've collected all these guns from this
the wrong
neighborhood.
People.
Right. They're not going to...
Karen, you mean here in the States?
Yes.
Right.
Buybacks. That's
state
where they're
state.
Happening.
Mm-hmm.
They're happening in Los Angeles, where they consistently do these buyback programs. Mm-hmm. And they're having success. Sure, they're getting a bunch of guns, but that's not... Was that the dog again? That's not who is doing the mass shootings.
Right.
You know, unfortunately, those are predominantly contained gun violence, which, you know, shooting hundreds of people at a concert is a completely different situation.
Right. Well, that's the other thing is that, like I said, when it comes to the mental health issue, a lot of people were saying that the only indication we would have that guy was mentally ill is that he bought like 33 guns in the last year, and nobody's tracking that. Why is there a database, you know, for everybody who has a driver's license? Why does everybody know how we're registered to vote, but nobody's tracking how many guns you own? You know, there's a no-fly list, right? Why isn't there a no-buy list?
Yeah, we're certainly doing tracking a good, everybody that comes in the country yeah. and leaves the country, and
I mean, anybody who shops online, we know more about their buying habits than we do about gun owners.
So I don't really understand the rationale of semi-automatic weapons.
There's no reason for
it. There is none. That's
I mean, they're for war. They were developed.
Well, I know that. Yeah. Well, why do people have them? Like, what does the NRA say about that?
Because they think
that's
cool.
The best question of the night. Yeah. It's fun. It's cool. It's powerful. It's, you know, who knows?
If you start mandating no semi, what do they think? It's going to be a line that is just going to get being drawn.
Think it's like the slippery slope thing with, you know, if you do that, then it'll be this, then it'll be this. So,
right. But that's why I think that, you know, that's why our reasonable willingness to negotiate on this hasn't worked, because they're not going to give an inch. So I think we have to go to 100. We have to say, okay, good. Let's take a closer look at the Second Amendment and then let them work backwards from
when
there.
When would a normal citizen need a semi-automatic?
Never.
Unless like, not even for like hunting, right?
No.
That's not hunting. That's...
No.
Wait, I know when there's a zombie apocalypse.
Oh, right.
I will have an automatic weapon then. But you only need a good stabbing tool.
Right? A good stabbing tool for the zombies. Okay. Well, what if you wanted to become a drug lord? Then you might need that.
Maybe.
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
I am looking for a new job. I could become a drug lord.
Drug lord.
I don't know. Drug lord's more in my, you know, purview.
Yeah, that's the thing, is none of this makes any sense.
I thought maybe there had been some conversation. I just missed it.
No, you haven't. I mean, if you want to hunt, it's considered bad form to hunt with an automatic weapon.
And I have to say that while I was in upstate New York in my little teeny tiny conservative town, I had to go to the city hall with my friend to get the death certificate.
Yeah.
And that's also where they were giving out hunting licenses. So I witnessed that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God. Big game though, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't, yeah. I mean, like you said, if somebody, if you wanted to hunt for sport, which I don't agree with, but I know there are other dangerous sports, and so maybe you need a rifle to hunt for sport. But then there should be very strict rules about
how you should have to eat it.
You have to eat what you kill.
You have to eat what you kill.
But also, you know, if we have to go take a driver's test every couple of years, right? So you need to come in, and somebody needs to ask you some questions that verify your sanity. And you know, it shouldn't be just like, you want a gun, have a gun. Here, there's a gun for you and for you and for you. You know what I mean?
So I just happened to Google why the NRA thinks that people should be allowed to buy automatic weapons.
Good.
And I came up with a blog that said, I feel like if we can own the AR-15, we might be able to stop somebody else who's trying to, you know, shoot people.
That's right.
Well, I don't think that has ever happened on American soil.
The only way
soil.
To stop a monster with the gun is with the gun. Okay,
are you hanging out that you think that you...
Oh, hold please while I go get my AK-47. Is that it?
Yeah. You're going to walk into McDonald's with your automatic rifle at your side because you never know when somebody might show up.
And I've never seen anybody with an automatic weapon come and stop some of these mass shootings. Like, let me just pull mine out. In fact, there was a guy in the audience who is another country western singer, and his name escapes me at that Las Vegas performance.
That was Aaron.
Who said he had his weapon with him, and there was nothing he could do.
Right.
He didn't know where the shots were coming from.
Right. That's what Noah was, my son was talking to me, because the kids were talking at school about it. And he said, well, some of these kids were saying that they have to have a gun to shoot back in a situation like that. And I was like, do they realize that he was 35 floors up and nobody could even tell where the shots were coming from?
It was dark outside? I mean,
I mean, I'm sure they're just mimicking what their parents were saying, but there's no logic to that at all. I mean, even people say if you have a handgun in your house, the chance that you would be able to use it if you were attacked is slim. I mean, it's actually really hard to hit someone with a gun unless you're trained. Yeah, how are you
going to carry an automatic weapon around at a country concert?
Yeah.
That's why we have automatic weapons. Because you can get a shot in, right?
Oh, so you can go
like that.
Yeah,
to defend your house.
Maybe that's what they're thinking.
Put it in your backpack, you know, it sticks out a little bit while you're watching the concert. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like Mad Max up in here these days. That's the vision that the NRA has for our future.
Yeah.
Yeah, that has to change. That doesn't make sense. Okay, so we'll post to the Facebook page a couple of resources. One that's a really good place for learning about this stuff is called everytown.org, and they have a lot of fact sheets. So if you anticipate having to talk to someone on this topic, you can get yourself a fact sheet, or maybe you're just preparing to hold your elected officials and candidates accountable, and so it would be a good idea to educate yourself there. And they have a group that's called Moms Demand Action. We love the moms groups, and they're actually a nonpartisan group that's working on gun control issues, and there's a link to them on our Facebook page as well. So get educated, stay mad, and let's really push our politicians on this.
You're here.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on to another topic. Karen's going to lead the discussion this week.
Yeah, just highlighting some things from another podcast that I listened to about body image. And I've started to think a lot of, you know, about the election and what a big deal it was with Hillary and how it seemed to be all about what she looks like, you know, the pantsuit brigade, and why doesn't she wear skirts, and, you know, people are suspicious of a woman that wears pants. I don't understand all that.
It's where we hold our AK-47 down our pants.
I don't get it. And there was more talk about, you know, how she highlighted her hair to look more, to look softer and all of these things.
Yeah.
So I started thinking a lot about how, I mean, our 45 versus Hillary, I don't know. I guess it depends what you think is attractive. That's the whole point. But I looked up some research and just a couple, two quick things. One I already posted to the Moms Talking website, but the first one was a real quantitative kind of dense article, but interestingly, it's called The Political Gender Gap, Gender Bias and Facial Inferences That Predict Voting Behavior. Ooh. And summation, you know, looking at men's faces and women's faces with the same emotive sense, you know, happiness, sadness, seriousness, anger. And people were significantly more likely to vote for more competent looking male candidates than female candidates. Intriguingly, though, the male candidates were also more likely to win votes if they appeared approachable, while female candidates were more likely to win votes if they were attractive.
Hmm.
So, interesting.
What do they mean by competent looking? Did
they have to have
that?
Orange skin.
Yes.
They have to look like a shit gibbon.
Tan regularly.
They tan regularly.
And spray their hair very perfectly.
Yeah. Comb in other words, over their bald spot.
Yeah.
Meaning they just look like they wore a suit on occasion?
Yeah.
Or,
okay. They looked at people, so they would give the background. Like, both these candidates are equally competent. Now, which one would you trust, right, or which one would you vote for? So that was, you know, prior in the article talking about, you know, obviously one person has more experience and background. The male has equal experience and background. So which would you vote for? And for women, it was predominantly based on their so-called perception of attractiveness.
How attractive.
And they go through a whole bunch of examples, you know, about current women in politics and the criticism that they take for, you know, their makeup, their fingernails, their lipstick, their hairdos, when we don't spend that much time talking about males.
So there's like a much broader spectrum for dudes, because they could be, they can look competent, they can look approachable, but they can still be ugly. But for women...
Yeah. As long as they're wearing a suit, though.
Yeah, as long as they're wearing a suit. But for women, right, they have to be attractive.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly, Patty.
And they have to work on that constantly.
Well, you must, yes. You can't eventually not wear matching pantsuits. They don't like that.
I love her pantsuits.
I love pantsuits. Yeah. So the other article was just from today, from the Chicago Tribune, and it's called Women, Politics, Appearance, and Feminists. And it's... What Ugly Has to Do with Politics is what it was called. So I already posted that to the Moms Talking website, but
you mean the Facebook page?
Yes, Patty, yeah. Thank you. that reneging on an election promise or being caught in a lie is likely to be met with anger and disapproval for any politician. But for women leaders, these acts seem to become signs of fundamentally flawed character rather than just individually judged political actions, so that women are judged as their whole person instead of, oh, that was a bad decision. And I, you know, thought about Hillary as Secretary of State and how she took full responsibility for anything that went wrong.
Right.
But whereas even Obama was judged differently for things that happened during that presidency.
Right.
And speaking of the Women's March, they posted some tweets. Indiana State Senator Jack Sandlin, who is a Republican, posted a sentiment on Facebook during a meme that featured a photo of marchers. Okay, so what he said was, this is a quote, "In one day, Trump got more fat women out walking than Michelle Obama did in 8 years.
Wow.
Who said that?
Wait, what?
That was Indiana State Senator Jack Sandlin. He denies posting it, and he says he's not sure how that ended up on his Facebook.
Oh, he's got to go.
Why does does he think they care about what Trump thinks about them?
No, he's point. Just saying, that's what he said about the Women's March. He's just being a jerk.
Oh, okay.
Trump got, about the women's towards Trump got more people out exercising than Michelle Obama ever did. That was his cynical, disgusting comment.
Well, he obviously wasn't in LA because we couldn't move. We were just standing there. Nobody was marching.
He obviously didn't notice that there were a lot of men and children on that march as well. So it wasn't just women.
Yeah. Well, again, it's just that whole, you know, if you're going to be in the public eye, you're supposed to be of a certain appearance. And lastly, Democratic analyst publicly advised Elizabeth Warren, who, you know, we all know, Massachusetts, to soften her school marm appearance and lose her granny glasses and soften her hair. So I'm not sure how that's going to help her political career or how that has anything to do with what she has accomplished. But that was, you know, part of the quotes that they were speaking of current women. And is it Gildebrand? Kristen Gildebrand. Uh-huh.
Gildebrand.
I can't remember if it was a hard or a soft G, but she has taken a lot of criticism, too, for the way she dresses, evidently. So, interesting article, and you can find that on our Facebook page. So, it just got me thinking about how tough, Hillary had it. And going forward here in not only our 2018 elections and in our presidential elections, keeping that in mind, to remind people to look at the opinions and the politics,
right,
and maybe it doesn't matter what color lipstick you're wearing as to whether or not you're going to be an effective politician. So,
right. Well, do you think that women hold other women to that same standard?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. I think it's a societal thing. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I agree.
We're harder on each other.
I think we all do.
Yeah, I bet women are more critical of the way the woman looks than men.
Yep, probably.
We talked a little bit about that last week with the wage gap. I think that women become threatened if another woman becomes more accepted because there's only so much space. for women.
Well, you also see it in this, the younger generation, with them constantly posting photos of themselves on Instagram, and
it's all about image.
It's all about who likes you the most. You know how many likes you get. So
yeah,
it's a dangerous right, spiral they're on. Yeah,
I do hope I think among younger women, there's a widening perception of what's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that too.
Yeah, I mean, not. I think that there's this traditional statuesque, long-haired, big cleavage. You know, all the women who work in the Trump administration, the Kellyanne Conway look, the dyed hair, the tight dresses.
Yep.
But if you look on Instagram, yes, there's definitely a certain, stereotypes that persist, but there's also the possibility to find your niche and people
absolutely
who love you for looking a different way, whether you're trans or you're big or you're have a different skin color. So I find that hopeful, but I think that the obsession with being liked and having your looks approved.
I think when you're talking about politicians, that because it is still a male-dominated, especially if we're talking about the presidency, which
yeah.
I'd like to see a female in there in my lifetime here, that I think that the standards are still different. So yes, I think there's a lot of body positivity going on, but and acceptance and looking at people as a whole being, I think that's very true amongst the Instagram generation.
Right.
But I think amongst politicians. I mean, look at what our 45th has said about women and their appearance. He's already set a standard of what he thinks is acceptable.
I agree.
So,
it gets harder. It's definitely harder for women in politics, and we have to just make sure, like you said, in our everyday lives, we've got to really work at not allowing
that. That's why I just loved all the pantsuits when, during the election, that, people were coming out in pantsuits, and it just kind of like broke the mold. I mean, people do, crowds in the pantsuit parade, so.
What do you think, Jackie?
I'm just going to move to Canada because their prime minister is really hot.
Yeah.
Is that bad?
Ooh.
Is that bad?
No.
They kind of flipped
You're right.
the script in Canada. They voted for a really hot looking dude.
He also has
or France. Or
yeah.
France.
Oh, yeah, France.
They're a president. Is he president? Whatever his title is.
It doesn't matter. He's just cute to look at, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think that's fine. I mean, that's the thing is, yes, people are more attractive than others. Everybody has a perception of beauty. But it shouldn't be the only thing that you're judged on or judged on that above your, credentials.
So, I think that women have to get together and calling out those.
Absolutely.
When people, publicly talk about a woman's appearance, just say, hey, we don't care. Let's listen to what she has to say. And we just have to work as a group and really calling people.
Or maybe
that.
We could just do exactly what they do, but to a man, and how ridiculous that would sound.
I agree.
This is what's funny because I'm laughing at myself. This is what I've been trying to do. So I was watching the posts on Puerto Rico and wondering why he was throwing towels at people, but besides that, I wonder why Melania was wearing all white to help clean up Puerto Rico. And then I thought to myself, okay, I'm going to try to be positive here because she is a female. She's in a really tough situation. I'm not going to criticize her, but who wears all white to clean up a place that has been flooded and muck and mire all over?
Karen,
I mean,
let them eat cake. Let them eat
maybe
cake.
He'll deport her. Because she's part of the, she is an immigrant.
She is an immigrant.
So,
that's what I'm saying. I stopped myself and said, okay, I'm not going to criticize her for that. I'm just going to.
Well, that's not criticizing her appearance. That's, she's sending a message as First Lady in the way she shows up to an event. And you weren't saying she'd look bad in those. I'm sure she looks spectacular in those.
She looked mighty fine in those pants.
Yeah, but those were inappropriate.
Not supposed to wear white.
That's right.
Well, I think one of the interesting things about Melania is that that's the only true thing that we can talk about her about, because she has yet to, promote any real agenda other than anti-bullying when her husband is a number one bully.
Yeah.
But I mean, So where Michelle Obama had a platform that she was constantly promoting, and you would also, sometimes I liked the clothes she wore, sometimes I didn't, but, you know, she was very fashionable. Melania is, that's sort of all we see is the fashion plate. And I would like to, for her to be more than the lady in stiletto heels and all white while her husband's chucking paper towels at people, you know. But I don't think she wore the stilettos to the, she when she gets off,
she had
no,
a
white, she wears something
white
else.
Tennis shoes, white tennis shoes.
But I think that's why it's so, the conversation is so focused on her clothes, because there's not a lot else that she has yet taken on, you know.
Right,
so.
I agree. Well, I just want to say this isn't about women. This is, I'm flipping the script, and there's one man in the public eye that just gets better looking to me every day. I don't know if you guys have had this experience, but doesn't Robert Mueller get better looking all the time? Like, initially I was like, oh, that guy's going to be the special investigator, right? Lately I just look at him, I'm like, he is handsome. I like what he's doing with his hair.
I'd really like to see more of him on TV. I'm talking about current events.
I know, but I just
I
love
think he should
that.
Soften his hair.
You don't like his hair? It looks like a helmet.
I'm just saying.
Oh, you're
about
doing, oh, you're doing the, okay.
I think he should get rid of the granny glasses and soften his hair.
Yeah. See, but he's doing the Melania thing where he's not talking to us, so all we can think about is what he looks like. He's keeping everything quiet. Mm.
He's a mystery man.
He is a
mystery
man.
I thought you were
going
to say, like, John Stamos or something.
No!
Rob Lowe is just,
he looks better than he did 30 years ago. Definitely.
Yeah. He looks the same. Yeah.
Creepy. Dorian Gray.
Kind of. Yeah. He must have made a deal sold with
their
the devil somewhere.
Sold their souls.
Well, Karen, that was very interesting, very informative.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Take the time to peruse it.
Yeah.
It's interesting what people can get away with saying.
So our plan of action is not to stay silent when we see people criticizing women for their appearance and not listening to their ideas. And, yeah, any other suggestions?
Don't wear white after Labor Day.
Don't wear white after Labor Day.
There you go.
To clean up the blood. I don't know.
And please.
Or, yeah, high heels to clean up the blood.
Please, somebody get Robert Mueller to say something. I just want to hear what's going on.
How about indicted?
Yeah, I like that.
Oh,
all right. Are you guys ready for the 1 minute speed round?
Yep. Ooh, okay. Yes.
Who has yes knows they want to start with?
I'm ready.
Okay, go.
Fast. My yes. I love it when you look at your child and you realize that your child has surpassed your expectations, or they've achieved something beyond what you were able to do. You know, that kind of glowing feeling when you're like, that was really impressive. So I love that. That's my yes. And then my no, which maybe we can pick up another day. I was reading a lot this morning about the opioid crisis. Thank you. And how there are many medical.
I like the way you said it. You're like, opioid crisis.
medical examiners who are actually quitting because they are overloaded with deaths. And maybe we could talk about that because that was one of.
Speaking of death.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a nice segue.
No.
Jackie's got a yes, no on that topic.
I don't have a no because I'm so tired of being negative, so I just have a yes.
Okay.
It's a weird yes. But this made me think all week. So my funeral that I went to last week is a woman who was like the original bad mom. You know, she's the one you hung out with and then you'd say you were staying at her house, but really you were out partying and then she never told your mother.
You guys, I learned this week that Jackie had a much more exciting experience in high school than I did.
That's a whole
No, I'm like, serious. This is... I didn't know who the bad mom was because I was just a nerd.
Well, my mother's not listening, so I can say that. Yeah. Anyway, she passed. She was 89 years old. And was really interesting. They didn't have a wake or any type of service because she donated her body to the University of Buffalo.
Wow.
So I was just fascinated with that. And so basically her family didn't have to spend any money at all.
Wow.
They spent money on a party. So they had a party. So University of Buffalo will take her body and then they'll cremate her in a couple of years mm-hmm. and give the family her ashes. And so I just was really curious about that. So, yeah. 10 to 15,000 people do that a year, but you can't be an organ donor and a body to science donor. So,
for medical school?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting.
And you can't tell them what they can use your body for. You just have to give it to them, and then And not all bodies are accepted. You can't be morbidly obese. So,
how do you even apply for that? Where do you?
I'm gonna put this online because I think I'm gonna do that now. But there's a anatomy gifts registry. There's a bio gift science care, and then or you can call universities like the University of Stanford has mm-hmm. a program. So
that's fascinating.
Pretty cool, huh?
Thank you for that. Yeah.
Since our dad was a physician, that might be something to give back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Is there a big need for bodies? Is there a shortage or
No, it didn't say that. It's because there's lots of training and mm-hmm. but I just thought that was fascinating.
Yeah.
It's what a way to give back.
Yeah.
Plus I just think it's interesting.
Is that me? Interesting.
Less stress on the families because it is expensive.
Right.
The typical funeral in this country costs between $7,000 and $10,000. It's ridiculous.
That's a lot. Yeah. All right. Oh, well, cool.
Cool.
So that's nice. Bring a little race.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a grown-up way to look at the topic. It doesn't always have to be, ooh, boogeyman, Sometimes you have to make practical decisions, and that sounds like a really good way to plan for, what you're going to do at the end of your life and give something to your family as well.
Right.
Yeah. I like it. Pam, do you have a yes, no?
I do. My yes is not political. So thank you. I am very, very excited this week because my oldest son, Joshua, and his girlfriend are coming
twins.
Visit. Yes. Yay. But he is my oldest son by 22 minutes, so he is older. And he and his girlfriend are actually in Southern California for a wedding, and then they're driving out here to Scottsdale tomorrow, and we're going to spend a couple of days, 2-3 days together.
Yay.
And I'm very excited. And they live in Michigan, so I don't get to see them very often, and I love her.
Nice.
And I love him, so I'm very excited to have them. And we won't talk. Well, we probably will talk politics since they both are. They both are left leaning. So,
yeah.
And then my sad is it's just this whole gun control issue. And I Patty, like you also said, have come to the belief that we really just should ask for what we want instead of trying to go little bit. Although I do think it's okay to continue to work on those little things. If we can get that, whatever that booster thing is, eliminated. But we really should be looking for and supporting candidates who say they are for, comprehensive gun control in this country.
Right.
No more, I support the right for people to bear arms. I really don't support that right. I don't see any need for it. So, and it's been proven time and time again in countries where they have put in place significant gun control laws that it works. So, I think it's time that we make that decision. But that's my sad today. This week.
So for the listeners, I told the moms that this week we had to try and have some yes no's that weren't political. So I know it's our mental health exercise for the week to try and not think about politics for a moment. At some point we're going to talk about whether or not it's okay not to listen to the news for a day or two, because everybody gets stressed out.
You have to look at Pinterest instead.
We should also maybe consider talking about whether how to deal with social media, Facebook,
right,
Twitter, I've come to the decision that I'm no longer going to post political statements on Facebook because I don't think it really makes any difference. And it does insult some of the people that are in my friends list who are not
as liberal as I am. But I think we should have that conversation at some point.
That's a good one. We need to have a whole discussion about social media.
Yeah.
You guys know I work in digital marketing, and so I've been thinking about the algorithm issue a lot. This past week, both Facebook and YouTube were actually promoting posts and videos that said, you know, the whole shooting was a hoax. And it all has to do with the fact that they were getting boosted in their algorithms. And rather than control that, they let those things kind of take hold and just help to further the spreading of that nonsense. So, yeah, I think something has to be done there. So that social media is a whole discussion that we should have.
Yep.
So my yes this week is people who are patient with working moms. It's on Saturday, Noah had a test for his next belt in karate, and it's been like this long process getting to the date when he was ready for his test, and he almost got to do it a month ago. We had to wait for another month, and I had the wrong time, and we were late to the test. We were like 20 minutes late, and the family that runs the karate studio was so nice, and they're like, yeah, you're late, but we'll squeeze them in. And they didn't have to do that, like, you know, because being on time is part of learning responsibility. But I was like, it's my fault, it's my fault,
yeah,
it's not Noah's fault. No, I felt so bad. And they were like, oh, we get it, he's 12, and you're still in charge of his schedule, and we're going to let him test anyway. So thank God for people who are patient with moms.
Oh, yeah,
and,
that's
good. You know, the people who keep the family calendar. My no was, you know, on Saturday Night Live when they had Jason Aldean play the opening number. And I'm kind of torn on this because I applaud the sort of the nonpartisan approach to that. But also, you know, Jason Aldean had an opportunity to say something there about guns.
Yes.
And he didn't. And he's... I went and I looked it up, and I wanted to see what he said about Trump, and he said that he didn't vote in the last election, so and he won't say who he would have voted for, which just seems to me like he might have different political views, and he just doesn't want to
lose his base, because they're all Republicans.
Yeah. Lose his base. Yeah. And it's like, but you actually have an opportunity to maybe educate them or move them a little bit in a different direction. So that was my no. That made me I felt kind of weird about that. Plus, he played a Tom Petty song, rest in peace Tom Petty, and I know Tom Petty said at one time that he had his guns taken away from him because he was shooting them randomly, and he was like, that was the right thing to do. Like,
yeah.
When people abuse guns, they should have them taken away. So I don't know if Tom Petty would have loved that either.
Yeah.
So,
you know, Patty, I thought the exact same thing. I felt that opening was very lackluster. There was so much more that they could have said in that moment, and they missed an opportunity. So,
yeah.
I get they were trying to give him they're trying to be Barb a little bit less political, but
right.
I mean, that's what their platform is about now. They should use it as much as they can, I think.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's hard. I think there's moments when we should be nonpartisan, but there's also, I mean, we've shown that if everybody who feels outraged speaks together, we can have an impact. You know, like with Charlottesville, you know, they had another rally this last week and 30 people showed up. So that was, so, I mean, it doesn't hurt for, like you said, Pam, for us to take a strong position on what we actually want and actually believe. And, yes, you can compromise when you get into the actual negotiating and creating policy, but we shouldn't be able to say, we shouldn't be afraid to say, you know what, we just think this is wrong.
But 80% of Americans do think it's wrong.
They do, and that's the other thing, and that's so crazy. It's like, why are we afraid to say that?
Because the NRA's they're out got of their...
Sarah Huckabee Sanders says it's too soon to talk about.
It's not
control.
Too soon. I think a lot of it too is like people were afraid of trolls, but now that we know that trolls are mostly white guys who couldn't get a job, who live in their parents' basement and can't wait to march with tiki torches, we don't need to be quite as afraid of them as we were.
You know what's interesting, Patty? Though I had thought that that Jason Aldean had said something, but you know what? I'm trying to look it up now. It actually was another country star, and yeah. I'm not
right.
Sure. That's the other guy I mentioned. Yeah, John he was Abbott. The guy who was there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he said we need gun control right now.
Right. He said he had changed his views.
My biggest regret is that it stubbornly, I didn't realize it until my brothers on the road and myself were threatened by it. And that's pretty brave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, you're right, Patty. If they had, they missed an opportunity there.
Yeah, it's too bad. But we're all going to start speaking up more about gun control and get some politicians elected who will help us on that issue.
What can happen next?
Oh, nothing will. I'm sure nothing will happen this week, right, everybody? Knock wood.
Oh, wait,
knock
I wood. Know. Trump's going to insult a bunch of people on Twitter.
Oh, that would be new.
Yeah.
What? That would be shocking. Yeah. All right, guys.
Hey, wait a minute. One more thing.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it next week. I saw very interesting. Ivana wrote a book.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah. We'll have to mention that next week.
Yeah, we
too.
Do. Okay. We need to talk about Ivana's book.
His wife number one.
Is it Ivana or Ivana? I don't know.
I don't know.
Ivanka's mom.
Okay.
I think it's Ivana.
All right.
I'm not sure. I'll get the proper pronunciation.
We'll learn. We'll figure it out by next week.
Yes.
Okay.
It was very
good.
Interesting interview.
Okay.
All right, ladies.
Good night.
Have a good week.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.